No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the third day of April. Welcome, everyone. It's such a joy to be here with you in this space, on this day, on this journey through the Bible. And well done to each and every one of you, whether you are 3 years in, three decades, we're only two decades, really big deal in the Bible, 13 years in or 30 seconds in, this is your first day. We are so glad that you are here, and I say we as a global community, safe, a safe space, that is a really big deal in the body of Christ. What a beautiful thing to be able to say. This is a safe space, that you are welcome to be who you are and to bring whatever you're bringing here. And it's truly my hope that when you bring everything here, the safety and the revelation and the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the love and the kindness of a community and the compassion and the unfathomable, unconditional love of a God that knows you and sees you compels you to lay down the things that you are carrying that are not yours to carry anymore. Whether it be the burden of someone else's that you're carrying, whether it be the shame of your past, whether it be the mask of performance, whether it be the crutch of perfection, I pray that you have the courage to lay down what you need to give up in order to pick up life, life more abundantly that only God himself can bring to each and every one of us. We continue today in the book of Judges. There's some crazy stuff going on here in the book of Judges, and this is what happens when people do what they think is right in their own eyes and forget, disregard, or put aside the thirst and righteousness of a God who wants relationship, intimate relationship with each and every one of us. And so we continue in the crazy today, reading Judges chapters 10 through 12. And this week we're reading the New Revised Standard Version Updated Edition. Judges chapter 10. After Abimelech, Tola, son of Pua, son of Dodo, a man of Issachar, who lived at Shamir in the hill country of Ephraim, rose to deliver Israel. He judged Israel 23 years, then he died and was buried at Shamir. After him came Jair, the Gileadite, who judged Israel 22 years. He had 30 sons who rode on 30 donkeys, and they had 30 towns, which are in the land of Gilead, and are called Havoth-Jair to this day. Jair died and was buried in Kemon. The Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, serving the Baals and the Astartes, the gods of Aram, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the Ammonites, and the gods of the Philistines. Thus they abandoned the Lord and did not worship him. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of the Philistines and into the hand of the Ammonites, and they crushed and oppressed the Israelites that year. For 18 years they oppressed all the Israelites who were beyond the Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. The Ammonites also crossed the Jordan to fight against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was greatly distressed. So the Israelites cried to the Lord, saying, "We have sinned against you because we have abandoned our God and have served the Baals." And the Lord said to the Israelites, Did I not deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites, from the Ammonites and from the Philistines? The Sidonians also and the Amalekites and the Maonites oppressed you, and you cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Yet you have abandoned me and served other gods. Therefore, I will deliver you no more. Go and cry to the gods whom you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your distress. And the Israelites said to the Lord, We have sinned. Do to us whatever seems good to you, but deliver us this day. So they put away the foreign gods from among them and served the Lord. And he could no longer bear to see Israel suffer. And the Ammonites were called to arms, and they encamped in Gilead. And the Israelites came together, and they encamped at Mizpah. The commanders of the people of Gilead said to one another, Who will begin the fight against the Ammonites? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Now Jephthah, the Gileadite, the son of a prostitute, was a mighty warrior. Gilead was the father of Jephthah. Gilead's wife also bore him sons, and when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah away, saying to him, You shall not inherit anything in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob. Outlaws gathered around Jephthah and went raiding with him. After a time, the Ammonites made war against Israel. And when the Ammonites made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to bring Jephthah from the land of Tob. They said to Jephthah, Come and be our commander, so that we may fight with the Ammonites. But Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, Are you not the very ones who rejected me and drove me out of my father's house? So why do you come to me now when you are in trouble? The elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, Nevertheless, we have now turned back to you so that you may go with us and fight with the Ammonites and become head over us, over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, If you bring me home again to fight with the Ammonites and the Lord gives them over to me, I will be your head. And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, The Lord will be witness between us. We will surely do as you say. So Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and commander over them. And Jephthah spoke all his words before the Lord at Mizpah. Then Jephthah sent messengers to the king of the Ammonites and said, What is there between you and me that you have come to me to fight against my land? The king of the Ammonites answered the messengers of Jephthah, Because Israel, on coming from Egypt, took away my land from the Arnon to the Jabbok and to the Jordan, now, therefore, restore it peaceably. Once again, Jephthah sent messengers to the king of the Ammonites and said to him, Thus says Jephthah, Israel did not take away the land of Moab, or the land of the Ammonites. But when they came up from Egypt, Israel went through the wilderness to the Red Sea and came to Kadesh. Israel then sent messengers to the king of Edom, saying, Let us pass through your land. But the king of Edom would not listen. They also sent to the king of Moab, but he would not consent. So Israel remained at Kadesh. Then they journeyed through the wilderness, went around the land of Edom, and the land of Moab arrived on the east side of the land of Moab and camped on the other side of the Arnon. They did not enter the territory of Moab, for the Arnon was the boundary of Moab. Israel then sent messengers to King Sihon of the Amorites, king of Heshbon, and Israel said to him, Let us pass through your land to our country. But Sihon did not trust Israel to pass through his territory. So Sihon gathered all his people together and encamped at Jahaz and fought with Israel. And the Lord, the God of Israel, gave Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they defeated them, So Israel occupied all the land of the Amorites who inhabited that country. They occupied all the territory of the Amorites from the Arnon to the Jabbok and from the wilderness to the Jordan. So now the Lord, the God of Israel, has conquered the Amorites for the benefit of his people Israel. Do you intend to take their place? Should you not possess what your God, Chemosh, gives you to possess? And should we not be the ones to possess everything that the Lord our God has conquered for our benefit? Now, are you any better than King Balak, son of Zippor of Moab? Did he ever enter into conflict with Israel? Or did he ever go to war with them? While Israel lived in Heshbon and its villages, and in Aroer and its villages, and in all the towns that are along the Arnon, 300 years, why did you not recover them within that time? It is not I who have sinned against you, but you are the one who does me wrong by making war on me. Let the Lord, who is judge, decide today for the Israelites or for the Ammonites. But the king of the Ammonites did not heed the message that Jephthah sent him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh. He passed on to Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed on to the Ammonites. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, "If you will give the Ammonites into my hand, then whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return victorious from the Ammonites shall be the Lord's, to be offered up by me as a burnt offering." So Jephthah crossed over to the Ammonites to fight against them, and the Lord gave them into his hand. He inflicted a massive defeat on them from Aroer to the neighborhood of Minith, 20 towns, and as far as Abel Karamim. So the Ammonites were subdued before the Israelites. Then Jephthah came to his home at Mizpah, and there was his daughter coming out to meet him with timbrels and with dancing. She was his only child. He had no son or daughter except her. When he saw her, he tore his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low. You have become the cause of great trouble to me, for I have opened my mouth to the Lord, and I cannot take back my vow." She said to him, "My father, if you have opened your mouth to the Lord, do to me according to what has gone out of your mouth, now that the Lord has given you vengeance against your enemies, the Ammonites." And she said to her father, "Let this thing be done for me. Grant me 2 months, so that I may go and wander in the mountains and bewail my virginity, my companions, and I." "Go," he said. And he sent her away for 2 months. So she departed, she and her companions, and bewailed her virginity on the mountains. At the end of the 2 months, she returned to her father, who did with her according to the vow he had made. She had never slept with a man. So there arose an Israelite custom that for 4 days every year, the daughters of Israel would go out to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite. The men of Ephraim were called to arms, and they crossed to Zephon and said to Jephthah, "Why did you cross over to fight against the Ammonites and did not call us to go with you? We will burn your house down over you." Jephthah said to them, "My people and I were engaged in conflict with the Ammonites, who oppressed us severely. But when I called you, you did not deliver me from their hand. When I saw that you would not deliver me, I took my life in my hands and crossed over against the Ammonites, and the Lord gave them into my hand. Why then have you come up to me this day to fight against me?" Then Jephthah gathered all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim, and the men of Gilead defeated Ephraim because they said, "You are fugitives from Ephraim, you Gileadites, in the heart of Ephraim and Manasseh." Then the Gileadites took the fords of the Jordan against the Ephraimites. Whenever one of the fugitives of Ephraim said, "Let me go over," the men of Gilead would say to him, "Are you an Ephraimite?" When he said, "No," they said to him, "Then say Shibboleth." And he said, "Sibboleth," for he could not pronounce it right. Then they seized him and killed him at the fords of the Jordan. 42,000 of the Ephraimites fell at that time. Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. Then Jephthah the Gileadite died and was buried in his town in Gilead. After him, Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel. He had 30 sons. He gave his 30 daughters in marriage outside his clan and brought in 30 young women from outside for his sons. He judged Israel 7 years. Then Ibzan died and was buried at Bethlehem. After him, Elon the Zebulunite judged Israel, and he judged Israel 10 years. Then Elon the Zebulunite died and was buried at Aijalon in the land of Zebulun. After him, Abdon son of Hillel the Perathonite judged Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons who rode on 70 donkeys. He judged Israel 8 years. Then Abdon, son of Hillel, the Perathonite, died and was buried at Perathon in the land of Ephraim in the hill country of the Amalekites. Here's the thing about the Bible. It's not G-rated. As I've said before, it is not the things that we like to make our faith and our Christianity that we just like to avoid, that if we just don't say it, then it's not true. Or if we say it, then we align with it. And sometimes that's just avoidance. Sometimes we just avoid things that we should and need to talk about. And so we have to talk about this really hard story today. And there's no redemption to the story. There's no bow to put on this and make it happy. There's no Christian fluff that I can atop this story and mask it to be something fluffy and sweet and pretty. It's not going to be. In fact, it's hard. It's disturbing. And this is a safe place, so it's okay if you have an issue with some of the things we read about today. The fact that a man offers his daughter as a sacrifice to God, it's unsettling, and it's perfectly okay to say that. It's unsettling, and we don't have to mask it with, "But God is good and God is faithful." It's unsettling. Period, which is the story of some of our lives, some of the details in the story of our lives are so difficult to say, to hear, to think about. And I can tell you this, avoiding certain things does not make them go away. If they are not dealt with, if certain traumas are not dealt with, that brokenness, it will come out. It will come out in different ways. And it will spill all over people that we love, people that we don't intend to hurt, get hurt the most sometimes by our brokenness. And so, I would encourage us to admit the broken parts. I would encourage us to not look away at the things that we want to look away from, to not avoid, to not diminish, to not fluff it off or put some frosting on it and try to hide it, cover it up. But we have to take it head on. And so we have a judge who ruled over Israel. His name is Jephthah. We read about him today, and he is the son of a prostitute. And there are several parallels in this story that we have read before. Jephthah has brothers, and the brothers, they put him on the outside. It was our reading in the DAV on the first, where the disciples told Jesus, a man that was casting demons out in Jesus' name, but they told him not to do it because he was not one of them. So we see this here today, that Jephthah's brothers, they put him on the outside because he is the son of another woman. He does not belong to them. Don't we all just want to belong somewhere? We want to be in the club. Like, we want to be the first one picked at dodgeball. We don't want to be the last one. We know why the last people get picked. They're not good at dodgeball. But they might crush it on the tin whistle. It's just so silly. The things that we dismiss people over, put them on the outside. We do this within our faith. We call it the work of God. We'll justify it any way we want to, other than calling it what it actually is. We put people on the outskirts, and our actions, our words, our behaviors, our choices send the message that they are not welcome before they even walk up and we know their name. This is a story similar to that of Joseph and his brothers, who opted out of killing him, but ultimately sold him into human trafficking. And that story was beautiful and redemptive. And then there's the story of Abraham, where God calls Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. And Abraham obeys God, but God replaces Isaac with a ram. That feels very redemptive. Thank God that he spared Isaac's life. There's nothing spared here today. And that's hard, and it's difficult, and it's okay that it is. And what we can take away from this story today, that this is a very different people that is not the leadership of Moses that we saw and of Joshua that we saw. These are judges, rulers that are ruling people that are doing exactly what they want to do. They are doing exactly what Moses and Joshua warned them not to do. God gives us a choice in life to serve him, to reject him, to love him, to hate him, to let him be who he is or try to box him up, to help God out or allow God to be God and do what it is that he does. But so oftentimes we want both. We want to trust God for the lives of our children, and yet we want full control of their lives at the same time. We want to trust God with our finances and for provision, and yet we want to do as little as we humanly have to. We can be as reckless with our own lives as we want to be. But where the challenge comes in today is that while we can be as reckless as we want to be, as we choose to be, we have to look in the mirror. And as we see ourselves through the eyes of the children of Israel, we have to ask ourselves, are we reckless? And then turn our desperation, our dependency, put our full faith and our full trust in God. We claim his promises then. We remind him of who he is and what he should do for us. But then, how soon do we turn our back? Do we pick up that trust and place it back in ourselves when things are okay? We've got this. It's a fair question. It's a fair look to look in the mirror. It's a fair posture of the heart to ask where our dependency is, where our trust is, because we can say it's in God and in Christ and Christ alone. But yet, when we look real deep and real long, we'll see that our fingers are white knuckled, holding on to the things that we refuse to let go of, trying in our own strength, working it out in our own plan, rather than obeying God, trusting God, allowing Him to be who He is, walking in forgiveness, walking in righteousness, trusting in what we can't see and what feels like He's gone and abandoned us. Maybe He is working it all out for our good so that He can be glorified. As long as we don't forget to come back and give Him thanks and give Him praise. Maybe the discomfort of this story today would give us permission and give us space to sit in the discomfort of our own choices in life and see what we need to clean up that we've made. There is no vacuum in space that I know of that comes and just sweeps up all of our messes. Here, I got it. I got it. I got it. I'm God. Let me get it. But He often gives us the strength, the endurance with His help to repair what we've broken. And it's not us repairing it. It's us doing the work when we trust Him and allow Him to repair the breaks in the way that He says they should be repaired. And sometimes that's really hard. Surrendering our pride to say, wait a minute, I probably play a part in this. Maybe it's not all the other person. It might require some people to walk back into a space and do the work. And it might require some people to leave a space and do the work. And it might require things of us that we say we will never do. And when we will never, we have completely tied the hands of God in our lives. Jesus, would you give us the courage to look at the hard things in our lives, the hard things that are the work of our hands, the hard things that were the work of someone else's, that someone denied us the truth, someone denied us justice, someone denied us a life that we deserved, but we can stay crippled no longer in our brokenness. We need the help of your Holy Spirit. We need to sit in the discomfort. We need to admit some things that we've avoided. And we need to do some hard work. That you are the healer of the brokenhearted, and you are the one who sets prisoners free. So we ask for your healing, and we ask for your freedom, and we will allow you to be who you are and to work in the way that you choose to work. So we submit our will, we submit our pride, we submit to you full trust, to you and you alone. And may we be careful to give you thanks, you praise, you all glory and honor, and to not disregard and relinquish that trust when you have worked in a way that brings us to a place of healing and freedom. And I pray this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Real quickly, We are going back to Israel. Want to come? If you do, Israel, February 19th through the 22nd, 2026. Check it out, dailyaudiobible.com. Go to the initiatives at the website or on the app, and all of the information that you need is there. And if there's something that we have not thought of, there is a place for you to inquire anything that might come up. So come with us to the land of the Bible, February 9th through the 22nd next year, 2026. It will be the trip of a lifetime. If you would like to partner with us here, thank you so much. We could not do this without you. If you're giving by mail, DAB PO Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174, or using that app, hit the give icon up at the top right hand corner. Lastly, look for the give icon on the website. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. We'll turn the page together tomorrow. Look forward to it. Until then, love one another.
This is Sleeve of Jesus in North Carolina. All right, Holy Spirit, let's roll. If you guys could pray for my daughter, Jordan. She is struggling with some very serious mental health conditions, and we are kind of at the end of our rope to know how to deal with them. So we're hoping some increase in medicine is a solution, but I'd like God to come in and do a miracle in her. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Hi, guys. It's Kate calling in. I just heard Illinois Mama's prayer request for her son and his alcoholism, and a very impressive sounding procedure he probably has had by now, or maybe not. Sister, I hear your emotions in your voice, and I just want you to know that I have 7 siblings, and all but 2 of us were raging alcoholics. That doesn't include our mom. So 8 people close to me, roughly. I know what it's like to be the person loving the addict and being emotionally exhausted in every way, over and over, and chronically dealing with that. So I do lift you up before our Father, and I ask you, Father, to comfort Illinois Mama and her son, who feels such deep shame. Would you free him from his prison and show him that there is true forgiveness and freedom in you, and community with other people who have dealt with alcoholism, drug addiction, sex addiction, food addiction, on and on. And the living proof are the people walking around living productive and happier lives. And he's not the exception to the rule. So I pray for both of them as they face another milestone in his life. And I pray your blessing on them. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Hello, DABC family. God bless you all. Lori from Colorado Springs, you called in regarding your niece's update. Father God, wrap yourself around this family, Father God. I'm sorry, Lori, for the news that was rendered. You know, with everything going on in life, I just have to believe that as long as there's breath, there's still hope, and there's still something that God can do, because God can do all things. God can do all things except fail. So I am going to believe in the name of Jesus, Father God, that we are praying to our healing Father, a Father who can eradicate leukemia in the name of Jesus, and cleanse her body from the inside out, Father God. Father God, only you can do that. And Father God, if it is your will not to, Father God, then we ask you, Father God, to strengthen her husband and her sister, Lord. Father God, because they're upset with you. And I know what that's like, Father God. But I thank you for the lessons you've taught me. And I'm asking you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to be there with them, comfort them, Father God. We glorify yourself, Lord. Glorify yourself. Let it be something that she could testify how you just in your glory, Father God, in grace and mercy, you healed her. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Esther from Queens, New York. Te amo.